Okay, good vach, everybody. It's supposed to be back together. Matzei Shabbos Kodesh. I want to start by thanking the Shriers and Eliza for opening up their bayis to us on Matzei Shabbos, and it should be Bez Hashem. Big schus for the beautiful mishpach, only for simcha and bracha always. So I know usually the way that people learn through the parashios of the year. So before Shabbos, we're learning about and preparing for that week's parasha. So today was Parashas Lech Lecha. So those of us during the week, if we wanted to look into a chumash and prepare for Shabbos and learn a little Torah, so we were looking something nice in Lech Lecha. And maybe if we heard a Torah in Lech Lecha, heard a Shir in Lech Lecha, and then the Shabbos passes and you're looking on to the next parasha. So now we'd be on to Vayera already. Truth is, if you think about it, maybe that's not the way we're supposed to do it exactly. You know, we've spoken over here before, we've definitely mentioned the concept of how an entire week, that all the Kedushin, all the Brach, all the holiness, all the blessing, everything in a week comes from the Shabbos before it. Shabbos is the Makar HaBracha, the source of all Bracha, the source of all Kedusha. Shabbos Kodesh, Vayivarech L'Kimet Yom HaShivei Kaddish, so all Kedusha Bracha comes from Shabbos. That's why you have an Ofrof before Chasana, and you have a Shalom Zachar before Bris Milah, because it really all stems from Shabbos. Anything that's Kaddish in the world, anything that's Brach in the world. We spoke deeply about this a few weeks ago right here, actually, right? Right after Yontif, the Torah we spoke about was Shabbos Kaddish and all the Kedusha and Bracha of Shabbos. So if that's the case, then all the Kedusha and Bracha of this week that we just entered into, in a certain sense, really comes from the Shabbos that we just finished, and therefore comes from the koyach of the parasha, which is Parashas Lech Lecha. So really, all the depth within Parashas Lech Lecha, and all the chizik and esayrus, and all that we can gain from Lech Lecha, really applies more to the next week than the week before. I don't mean that everybody should stop and change their whole life, because it is exciting and enjoyable preparing for the Shabbos, and there's achana for Shabbos as well. And the concept of Shnayim Mikra V'Chatargum, of learning through the parish, is definitely the week before to prepare for the week. There's definitely something to that and very real, but there's no question that there's also something to keep that Shabbos with us throughout the upcoming week, which just started. So I want to look back actually at Lech Lecha a little bit and see if there's some Hisoyrus and some Chizik that we can gain, not just for this week, but for our lives always. So the parasha opened up with the first words Hashem is speaking to Avram Avinu. These are very powerful words. Incredible words, right? And right away after the famous first pasuk telling him to leave his homeland, Lech Lecha Be'aretzcha Melatcha Me'zavicha El Ha'aretz Asharecha, he tells him he's gonna give him tremendous brachos, like unbelievable stuff. What's the very next pasuk? Ve'aretzcha L'goy Gadol, I'm gonna make you into a great nation. You're gonna be a leader of a great nation. Va'avarechcha, and I'm going to bless you. We'll see in a moment what that bracha is. Va'gadlu shemecha, and I'm going to make your name great. Ve'ebracha, and you'll be blessed. So what are all these brachas? What was Hashem telling Avram Avinu? Ve'eschol l'gai gadol. So that's Pashit. That's us. That's Bnei Yisrael. That's us sitting here today, thousands of years later. Ve'eschol l'gai gadol. It's an incredible bracha that was chal on Avram Avinu. And mamish, we're here today because of that bracha. So that one's beautiful and wonderful. Avarechcha is a little bit, we have to give a little bit of a deeper understanding, because if you look in Rashi, it has one word. What is the bracha? Bimamon. With money. And you have to think about it for a moment. We'd have to assume Avram Avinu was not too much, I assume and I hope, I mean, he's the first of our avos, he wasn't such a materialistic individual. He wasn't looking into, you know, he probably wouldn't be so excited if he won the Chvesnish, the Mega Millions last night, even though I heard nobody won. So, to become a billionaire wasn't the goal of an Avram Avinu. That wasn't his goal. Those weren't his aspirations. And they're not supposed to be our aspirations. Of course, we need money to live and we have to support ourselves. But ultimately, our goal, what we're thinking about, what we're dreaming about, what we're looking for bracha, is not to be wealthy. It's not supposed to be, at least, right? It's not. So why? The first words of Avinu is, I'm going to give you a lot of money. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to be rich. So right away comes very pashit and beautiful, that Tara Lamelech, Rav Pam, Zecher Tzadik Kol Shavracha, the Rishiv of Tor Vadas, and he explains that money is something, if used properly, is tremendous. That if we take money, and because of that money, as Avram Avinu did, he had tremendous achnasas orachim. Where did he have? Where was he able to have all the food that he was constantly giving his guests? You need money. Where's the possibility to help those in need and give tremendous amounts of tzedakah and to build yeshivas and to support Torah and mitzvahs in an amazing way? So if the excitement and the yearning for money is because I'm going to utilize that money for Torah and mitzvahs, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. That's a tremendous bracha. That's a tremendous bracha. It's something we should think about. But let's move on. What I want to focus on is in the next couple words. V'agad l'shemecha. Because v'agad l'shemecha is even more shver, is more difficult, pshat, on the simple sense, I believe, than v'arecha, than money. Because all of us could have come up with that teretz, I believe. And that's what we would have said. V'agad l'shemecha, I'll make your name great. Pashat pshat, what does it mean to make your name great? So I think what we assume that would mean, I think most of us that would just learn chumash and v'agad l'shemecha is that you're going to be well known, you're going to be famous, your name's going to be known, v'agad l'shemecha, I'm going to make your name great. Avram Avinu, Chas v'Sholom, was a Baal Gaiva. Avram Avinu, God forbid, was haughty, was looking that he should be famous, that his name should be on a wall, that everybody should know Avram Avinu and talk about Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was running after honor and running after Gaiva. I mean, v'agad l'shemecha, why would he have been excited that the Rabbanu Shalom says, v'agad l'shemecha, I'll make your name great. What purpose was there in that? Gaiva, haughtiness, is of the worst of midos. First of all, I'm sure everybody in this room has learned three Ger's Ramban. If you haven't learned three Ger's Ramban, then you should start, not tomorrow, tonight. It's so beautiful. There's such a beautiful art scroll, Pirisho, and it's so easy and so beautiful. Really, really done very beautifully. Such a priceless letter that the Ramban wrote to his son with the Sodos, the foundations of life. Such a beautiful letter to build our midos, to build our character traits, to build our foundation of what it means to be a Bas Torah, what it means to be a Ben Torah. So in there, the Ramban says that if someone who's a Baal Gaiva is Meirid B'Malchus, is rebellious against the Rabbeinu Shalom, because there's a pasuk that says, V'Hashem Melech Geus Levesh. Hashem has Gaiva. That doesn't mean in a bad way. Hashem has a need that we all look up to him for us, not for him. So that's a sense of Gaiva that Hashem has. But nobody else should have Gaiva but the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's Meirid B'Malchus. It's of the worst of Midos. And we don't need even the Ramban to tell it to us. Let's be real and be honest. And nobody has to be like telling us, spitting out names. But the people that we look down to most in the world and we can't stand and we don't want to have anything to do with are people that are gaivadik. Nobody wants to be around people like that. It's repulsive. When you're around people that are only talking about themselves and herself and looking up and want everyone to look up to them, we want to run away from such people. So the most unattractive me that there might be in the world. Gaiva. It's disgusting. That's what Avram Avinu should want. There was a story. There was a wise man who met a very arrogant man, a Baal Gaiva. And they started talking. And they're in conversation. And the Baal Gaiva, of course, as any Baal Gaiva does, he does all the talking. And you're doing, you know, anyone who's has a nevus is doing all the listening. So he doesn't stop talking. And of course, he doesn't stop talking about himself. And how great he is, and how wealthy he is, and he has so much this, and all his houses, and all his cars, and doesn't stop talking about everything that he has. And then he starts getting into his knowledge, how he's the wisest of individuals, and he knows everything. Doesn't stop talking about himself, and that he's literally perfect in every way. And eventually, the other man, he says he had to go. He says, "Oh, it was wonderful meeting you." And he leaves him with these parting words. This wise man says to the arrogant man, "You know, it looks between the two of us, we possess everything in the world. It's amazing. We possess everything in the world. You have all the wealth in the world. You have, you know, most of the knowledge in the world. You have almost, but there's one thing you're lacking, one piece of information you're lacking. There's one thing that you don't know that I know, and together, therefore, we have everything in the world. You see, I know how unpleasant it is to spend time with you. So together we know everything. You hear, Chevra? It's disgusting. Nobody wants to be around such a person. We should destroy any drop, any tip of gaiva within ourselves. Ah, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of Yidden, was Ve'ish. What's the one mead that we read about in the Torah? Ve'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikoladim. He was the most humble of individuals. So here, the opening word to Avinu is Va'gadla Shemecha. I'm going to make your name great. Avram should scream back, no, don't do it. Please don't do it. Don't. I don't want these brachas. Avram should never have left. I don't want such a bracha. This is a bracha. This is a klala. You have to know what a bracha and a klala is. Sometimes, to some people, some of these things like a bracha, the klala. You know, it might be. I'm saying, okay, again, we might be, hopefully would know how to do it. But if any of us won the mega billions, it's got to be called that already, right? It's going to be $1.6 billion this week. If you won, is that going to be a bracha? It could be a klala also. Imagine the achrayas and imagine what your whole life just changed in every way. Would we really want it? There's certain things we'd want, but do we really want that responsibility and that life, that limelight? That it's scary. So what is a bracha? What is a klala? Last week, last Shabbos Kodesh, I was with my son Shmuel, and we were in shul, and after we went over Shabbos morning to the Rebbe, we're talking to the Rebbe, the Widavin, Rebbe Spiegel, Shlita. And the Rebbe was giving beautiful words. My son Shmuel, so about a month ago, he decided, it was right before Yontif, a little more, whatever it was, he decided he wanted a gray hat. And he got into his head, he wants to wear a gray hat, okay? And Shabbos, like a nice gray hat. He likes to be a little different, you know? It's all good, we're fine, okay? So he was speaking about it for a long time. I have the gray hat, you have to find a nice gray hat. You don't want, you know, because a gray hat could go two ways. It could look like you're an old man who wears a gray hat. Or it could be cool, you know? Like, you have to, if you're going to get a gray hat, it has to be. So finally, he went with my wife, and they went to in Brooklyn somewhere. I don't know. They found a gray hat. And he got a gray hat. So he's wearing the gray hat. And the Rebbe, last Shabbos, is the first time he saw my son in this gray hat. So he gives. The Rebbe is amazing. The Rebbe starts giving him Shevach, all this praise, how beautiful it is. Such a nice hat, Shmuel. Called him Shmuley Shmuley, such a nice hat. And I want you to know, it's beautiful that you wear hats. The covered shul, the covered davenings. Too many people come in, and they come in with their shirts untucked, and they come in. You have to have, and wearing a hat is something special to show the Rabbanu Shalom, I'm davening special to you. And he says, you'll see, you're going to be, other people are going to look up to you, and going to learn from you. You're going to be a Rebbe. You're going to be a Rebbe to others. You're going to be a Rebbe to others as well. So we walk out of shul. So Shmuel says, thank you, smiling at the Rebbe. We walk out of shul, and you know, I mean, some maybe know my son a little bit, but he doesn't right now, and probably will, you know, chances are, unless something changes drastically, he doesn't have such aspirations to be a Rebbe. Let's just put it that way on the side, you know? He's a wonderful Ben Taira, Balmidas, wonderful. That's not his goal. It's not his aspirations. So he walks out of the shul, and he looks at me. He's like, did the Rebbe just give me a big klala? He's like, Mom, she's like, can we go back? Like, did the Rebbe give me a klala? Then I'm going to be a Rebbe? That's not my dreams, you know? So I'm like, no, you don't understand. What the Rebbe said, every person should be a Rebbe. Everyone should be a Rebbe. What it means, it doesn't mean you have to be in the classic sense of the word, standing in front and giving shiurim, whether in a school, whether in a shul, whether here, whatever it might be. But everybody, what it means to be a Rebbe is that others are learning from you, others are looking up to you, others are looking at you as a role model. So you have to know what a bracha and what a klala is. You have to know what is a bracha and what is a klala, what's best for us, ultimately. So here, v'gadol shemecha, what type of bracha is this? For Avram Avinu. So the Medrash says it's not what we think. The Medrash in Beis Rabbah says the bracha of Agav Shemecha isn't that your name then you're going to be famous. It's way more literal than that. What is Avram called at the beginning of the parasha? Vayelech Hashem El Avram. He has no hay. His name originally had no hay. Later in the parasha, he's given the hay. Later in the parasha, he's given this hay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Va'agad l'shemecha. Literally, I'm going to make your name bigger. I'm going to enhance your name. I'm going to add a hay to your name. Your name was Avram with four letters. We're going to add a hay. It's going to be Avram with five letters. That's what it means, Va'agad l'shemecha. That's what it means. So that answers our question. It's not a sense of gaiva anymore. It's not a sense of fame anymore. But l'maisa, we still then have to understand why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu add a hey? What is this hey added to Avram's name? What does that represent? What is that? So I want to suggest the following. You know, the world that we live in, naturally, inherently, is very dark, spiritually, and can pull us down to the lowest of places. You know, if you look in Parshas Bereishis, right at the beginning, Bereishis Baruch Elokim Eshet Shemayim Va'aretz, Va'aretz Ha'yisus Soyu V'Vohu, V'Choyishech Al Panei Soyim. Naturally, the world is full of darkness and so full of confusion. Naturally, that's what the world is. And we look at the world and the culture that we live in, and how immoral it is, how unethical it is, how completely the antithesis of everything that Torah Mitzvah stands for is the world that we live in. And it's very hard not to naturally, on some level, be desensitized from that and fall into that. In the way that we dress, in the way that we speak, in our value system, because that is the world we live in. We live in a world of teva. Teva is translated generally as nature. But teva also means, there's another meaning of teva. You know what teva means? L'tvoa bayam means to sink. Because the teva of this world, the nature of this world, the world that we live in, the culture that we live in, can cause us to sink to the lowest of places. Completely the opposite of who we are supposed to be. And that's represented within the creation of the world. Where do we see this? In Parshas Bereishis, right in the beginning, Perek Vayis Pasuk Dalet, the Pasuk says, Eile toldos shashamayim va'aretz, these are the offsprings, the generations of heaven and earth, Behi Baram, when it was created. And if you look in Rashi, the Behi Baram, Rashi explains based on the Medrash, Behi Baram, Hashem created the world with the letter He. Behi Baram, the whole world was created with the letter He. And why? Rashi explains, because a hay is open on the bottom, which represents that every one of us can very easily sink, can very easily fall, can very easily fall to places that we don't really want to be, places that maybe we once were, and we've climbed out of, and we've grown out of, but it's still easy to fall back. The whole bottom's open. That's the world that we live in. But then there's the little opening at top of the hay, which tells us there's always opportunity to climb back in. There's always opportunity to grow. We never fall too far and never feel that way. The hay, therefore, represents tshuva. It represents the ability to grow even in the lowest of places. And maybe naturally, inherently, the world keeps us so low. Our avodah is to climb back in. And who was the first one that really showed that on such an amazing level? Was Avram Avinu, Avram Ivri. Avram Avinu grew up in this world of darkness, of confusion. Imagine he lived in a house. Not just, you know, we, so some level at least, have a safe haven in our own house away from the rest of the world. On some level at least, we're in homes that are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs on some level, have sent us to yeshivas and sent us to seminaries and taught us a little bit of a way opposite of the rest of the world. Avram Avinu didn't even have that. His outside world was in his inside world. He grew up, we know, Terach was not just an idol worshiper, was a merchant. We all know the story. We all know it all. Right? We remember Torah from kindergarten when we learned about Avram destroying all the idols. That was his father. And he was able, so he's in the lowest of places, he's able to climb back in. He represents that hay. And therefore, Hashem, you deserve that hay. You've created the world that I want, the way I want it to be. So take that hay into your name. And by the way, when you take the hay into the name Avram, and he's Avraham, he's the exact same letters, Behi Baram. Not just Gematria. Same letters, Behi Baram. You are the creator of the world. You're the purpose of why I've created the world. Which so easily we could fall in. Which, by the way, is Gematria 248, Avram and Behi Baram, which are the positive mitzvahs in Torah, because that's our avodah, to connect to those positive mitzvahs. That's how we climb back in. Through those mitzvahs. Avram was the paradigm of the purpose of life. To climb back, even from the lowest of places, and we all can, and we all have to believe in ourselves. And that's Vagad L'Shemecha. Recently I had a Talmud, a student of mine. He had a tremendous accomplishment. don't give any details. Does it? Tremendous accomplishment. Unbelievable. Really tremendous. And obviously, everyone was very, very proud of him. Everyone was very proud of him. His family, his friends. This Talmud in his 20s. I knew him from the time he's a little boy, this particular Talmud. And I called him up, and I told him, I want you to know. You know how proud I am of you. You know what this is. It really means so much, and it's incredible. And mamish, there are no words. But I know who you were once. This is a young man who struggled tremendously, not just with Yiddishkeit, with life for so many years. And he, like, this accomplishment, mamish, like, I can't even explain if you knew it. Like, tremendous, something unbelievable, like, an award that he won, I don't know, like, unbelievable stuff. But, like, I knew where he came from. I knew who he once was, and all the growth, not just the recent growth, all the growth. And it's incredible. It's incredible when a person could go and lift themselves out of those lower places, which sometimes naturally we are. That's the greatest of accomplishments. And the greatest of nachas. And we have to believe and we have to know that each and every one of us is a child of Avram Avinu. Each and every one of us comes from Avram Avinu. That's where it all began. We look at our avos, we're imos. Everyone in this room, I'm sure, has gone and davened in Marzach Pela, and davened in Chevron, and davened by Kivrei Avos. And specifically, what do we end our first every day we daven Shemoneh Esrei, and we start off with Kei Avram, Kei Yitzchak, Kei Yaakov, and we finish off the bracha Magen Avram. He was the first, and all of his kolchos, all his biological makeup, is in each and every one of us. They had this craziness in the news. I don't even know what I'm about to talk about. I don't even know what. But I like saw inklings of it with Trump and some woman and saying she's like 1/1,000,000th of a Native American. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? Whatever. It doesn't matter if you don't know. I don't know either what I'm talking about. But all that I know is that we, each and every one of us, not only are we a Yid, we have within us Avram Avinu. We have within us Avram Avinu. And that means if Avram Avinu was Behei Baram and he was able to climb out, we could also, and I don't care where we are. And you can't blame, well, I was able to be on that level when I was learning in seminary in Eretz Yisrael, and it was the most conducive of environments, and I had Rebbeim, and I had teachers, and I had Kaisel Maravi, and I had everything. But Rebbe, please, you don't know what my house is. You don't know my situation. You don't know what's going on in my life. It's true, we all have nisyonos, and it doesn't make it easy at times. I'm not saying that. But if Avram Avinu was able to do it in his bias, on his own, there was nobody to help him because he didn't have a Rebbe, a teacher, a friend. He had nobody and nothing. In the lowest of places he climbed up, we could also. And we have to believe in that. And we have to believe, and that's what it is. Lech Lecha. Be yourself, be an individual. Go to Lecha. Don't worry about Artzucha Mladcha Besavicha. Leave all that. Sometimes all that holds us back. Our culture, our friends, our family, all that sometimes holds us back. Lecha, be yourself. That's what Avraham Avinu was being told. And he did it. And that's Vagadlu Shemecha. I'm going to make your name great because you did it. You are Behi Baram. You are the purpose of this entire world. And each and every one of us in this room can be in that same way. No more excuses. Just do it. It's not even what I want to talk about tonight. Because what about, although we could keep on going on that idea, more. Sometimes when you're telling overture, you go in ways because you feel it in a different way. You got to feel the feel. But what about pshat, the pashat? That's the medrash, like Gad L'Shemecha is making Avram's name bigger. But pashat, meaning pashat, the way, not in the literal sense, but the way we'd all understand the pasuk, because your name's going to be great and you're going to be famous and you're going to be... Why would Avram Avinu want that? So the same question could be asked on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. I'm sure everyone learns Pirkei Avos, has learned Pirkei Avos, but even if you haven't, you've all gone to schools and at graduation, in most of the schools, you know, and at least... A lot of women here from SKA, but I'm sure in the other schools also, I feel like they have this, besides for the valedictorian and salutatorian, you have the Kesef Shem Tov. The Kesef Shem Tov award. which we'll get back to in a moment. But the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, it's in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, here it's Mishnah Yuzayin. Shlosha Ksarim Heim, there are three crowns. Kazer Torah, there's a crown of Torah. The Rambam talks about all of us can have that crown. All of that could be, every one of us could be a Bas Torah, connected to Torah. The Kesser Malchus, the crown of kingship. And finally, the Kesser Shem Tov, Ola Al Gabeim. But the greatest of crowns is having a Shem Tov, is having a good name. Now, isn't that similar to Agadlo Shemecha? Meaning, also, what does it mean to have a good name? People should be talking about you, people should be looking up to you. Really? That's important? I'm not worried about having a Shem Tov. To the Eibishter. I'm worried. Nobody else should know who I am. Nobody else should know anything about me. What's the Mishnah telling me? What's V'agad L'Shemech? What's the Kesser Shem Tov? Why are these important? So comes the Hilchos Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim explains that when a person has a good name, when a person has a name that people think highly of you, when your friends, when your family members, when people in the world say, oh, this young woman, she's incredible, she's amazing, she's well known for whatever the reason might be, obviously only Latoyev we're talking, for good. So you know now the abilities of that young woman, the abilities of that person, the ability now to influence others, to be mashpi on others, to be like we spoke about a few moments ago with the story with the Rebbe and my son, to be a role model to others. When you have a great name, you're able to influence others. V'agad l'shemecha, Avram was being told, I'm going to make you famous and have a great name and be well known and looked up to, so that you could influence others. We know Chazal teach us, he was Mekarev and Misgayer, thousands and thousands of people. Brought so many to monotheism, which he introduced into the world, to believe in a God. In a deep way. That's what a Shem Tov could be. We're not looking to be famous for the kavod of it. That's gaiva. But if we're looking that people should look up to us and should know us so that what? So I could be mashbi on them. That's my goal. To influence others, to look towards others, to care to be a role model towards others. Which then obviously starts with ourselves. Obviously starts by looking in the mirror and making ourselves really fit to be that type of a role model and that type of a Kesser Shem Tov. Because where does it come from? And I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes specifically, more than anything else, through our midos. It comes through the way that we act. Bein Adam L'Chavero. That's how you gain a great name. Bein Adam L'Mokum can be private. Bein Adam L'Mokum can be private. But your midos is seen by everybody. How you interact with others. That's how you gain a great name. It's seen in the name as well. Midos, we translate midos as character traits. But midos is also a midah. What is a midah? A measurement. It's how people measure us. Our midos is how moidino so. Our midos is how we're measured by others. Avraham Avinu was being told, V'agad l'shemecha. So what? So you could be influencing the world. So you could be the Avamon Goyim and have an influence. And this is what Avraham wanted more than anything else. And this is what we want. We can't live for ourselves. We have to live to be mashbia upon others. Starting with our own family, with our friends, and with the whole world. As best as we can, but that starts with ourselves. You know, in this week, we read today, Parshas Lech Lecha, so Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of Bris Milah. He was given the mitzvah of Bris Milah to circumcise himself at the age of 99. Can't even imagine what that was, right? So there's a crazy medrash Tanchuma. The medrash Tanchuma, the medrash Tanchuma is found in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, actually. But it's really on this week's Parsha. Medrash Tanchuma says that Avraham Avinu, when he's given this commandment of Bris Milah, listen to this, it's crazy. He first, before he goes and does it, he goes to his friends. He has three friends. Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. Three friends. That's why it's in next week's parasha, Elonei Mamre, Vayire Lav Hashem, Elonei Mamre. On the word Mamre is where the Medrash picks up on this story. But he says he goes to his friends and asks them, he says, God told me to circumcise myself, do you think I should do it? Imagine? And then it goes through a story how Aner and Eshkol both told him not to for various reasons, that it's going to be dangerous to his health, and that the kings that he destroyed are come kill him now, they'll find out about it, whatever, all different reasons. And then finally, Mamre said he should do it. So he went and did it. What is going on? Avram Avinu, the same Avram Avinu that threw himself in a fire for Nimrod, the same Avram Avinu that later at the end of last week's parsha was willing to shecht his son for God, without any question. We don't find that he went to his friends and said, oh, God just told me to kill my 37-year-old son, that he, by the way, promised me would be the leader of my nation. He told me to take him and kill him. Do you think I should do it? Now that, God told him to do it, I'm going to, how high? No problem. All good, of course. God, oh, you told me to check my son? No problem. That, no problem. To take a little cut, okay, shkoyach, it's going to hurt at 99, but let's be real. A little cut on the skin, that, wait a minute, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, let me go check with my friends. Really? Really? It's crazy, you know? It's a mamish a peladik medrash. Peladik medrash. So comes the Hilgi Shem Yishmuel. Listen to what Shem Yishmuel says. Listen to what the Shem Yishmuel says. Think. Sachat Shavu Rebbe. The Shem Yishmuel says, Avram's entire existence in this entire world was not for himself, but was for others. To give to others, to influence others, to care for others. And Avram, when he's told to take a bris milah, you know what's going to happen when he does his bris milah? He's the only person in the world that's circumcised. He's therefore the only person in the world that looks in a particular way. He's different. He's afraid he's going to be looked at by others as like strange and different, like a, you know, chvesta he used to have by the circuses, like a freak show. He's going to be that guy. And people are going to think he's crazy. Who does this to themselves? He looks different. He's not one of us. And he was afraid that then people are not going to take him anymore. And he's no longer going to have the ability to fulfill his entire purpose in the world, which is to give to others, to care for others, and to influence others. To believe in Hashem. So you know what? That, it's not worth doing. Even the Rabbanu Shlom that I believe in, that, not worth doing. If that's going to happen. If that's going to be what's going to be the outbirth of it, the consequence of it. Yeah.
But
Hashem told him.
No, I'm saying, but isn't like, Akira Yitzhak also would make him look weird.
It's a good question. I thought about it. Well, the difference is, you should know, it's a great question, but you should know that there were many Avodah Zarahs at the time that were doing this as well. And that's part of what, by the way, and that's part of what the whole Nisayon was by Akedah Yitzhak. Because the Nisayon was, I'm going to tell you to do like all the other Avodah Zarahs that you've been preaching against. So it was something that in our day and age it looks crazy. In their day and age it didn't look so crazy. So I think that's the real answer. But additionally, the way the Shem Shmuel and others explained that ultimately it's different when there's going to be and maybe this is different at this time than when we could understand, but when you're going to have a physical imprint on your body that's different than everybody else, he knew that, he was afraid that wouldn't be accepted. Not just an action, because people were doing all crazy things. But if it's something on your own body that you look different, he was afraid he wouldn't be accepted. And then wouldn't be able to be and care for others and give to others. Now again, it's hard. Ultimately, he probably would have done it anyways because God told him to. I don't know if the Shevet Shmuel or the Medrash is saying not. But he was so afraid. He wanted the assurance. And once at least one friend was accepting him, okay, people will accept me. Because that was his whole purpose of life. And what that tells us is to each and every one of us. That should be our purpose of life. To care for others, to give to others. And that's Vagad L'Shemecha. Hashem says, I'm going to make you great so you can influence more people and care for more people. And not just the people that we know and that we're close to. Anybody. I just was one of my Heilige Talmidim, Talmud Chaver of Kivi Naiman. He shared with me a story a few days ago from Rav David of Lulav, the Lulav Rebbe. And Rav David Lulav heard a son who was very, very sick. And of course, the Rebbe's son's sick. Everybody's davening with tremendous kavana. They have a tefillah gathering in shul. Everyone's crying and davening. And kachave, he was completely healed. And they came to tell the Rebbe the news that your son's healed. He starts bawling. He starts crying. He says, Rebbe, why are you crying? Baruch Hashem, your son's healed. He says, and I'm so happy my son's healed, of course. But we see the power of tefillah and the power of caring for others that brought about this refuah. It's killing me that the tzibur and that the olam only got together like this because it's my son. Why don't we daven like this and care like this for any yid in Klal Yisrael? And look what the power, what refuahs we would be able to bring. Our avodah is to care for others and to give to others. And to make our name great through our midos so that we can be mashpia on more people, not for gaiva. So the most beautiful idea recently, I remember now where I saw it, but that the, you know, our heart is the epicenter of each and every one of us, right? That's where our emotions come from. That's where our essence is. It's who we are. So we know throughout the Torah, the right side of a person is more chashuv. That's why generally, again, if there are some lefties in the room, we could talk about it another time, but generally we do things with our right hand. Yamin Hashem, Raimama, Yamin Hashem. Yamin, the right side of Hashem is Rachamim, the left side is Din. The right is more chashuv. But we know our heart is more towards our left. You know, it's somewhat to the center, but more towards the left of a person. So why is the heart more towards the left? Why is our lev more towards the left of a person? If you only remember this Torah from tonight, I believe it was worth coming. Don't ever forget this. You know why the heart is to our left? The heart should be to our right. The right is more chashuv. Our heart, our lev, our heart is to our left because when we interact with someone else and we give to someone else and we care for someone else and we influence somewhere else, towards that other person, when that person is looking at us, our heart is on their right side. Our heart is on our left side so that when we go and we're interacting with others, it's on their right side. I mean, yeah, the most chashuv is the right, but our heart is not meant for ourselves. Our heart is meant for others. So it's going to be on the right of everybody else. Because that's our avodah, to be there for others, to care for others. To be looking for the good in others. Sometimes the reason we don't care for others is because we don't look enough only at the good in others and look for the good in others. So the beautiful Torah from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Baruch Hu, the end of Parshas Noach. So we know at the end of Noach, the whole Maisa gave over pshat in the 5-minute Torah. I don't know who learned why this could be understood in more of a positive way, but where Noach gets drunk, Noach has wine and gets drunk, and we have the whole Maisa, Chum, his son Chum first comes, and the Pazik says, Vayar Chum avi knanis erevas aviv. Chum saw the nakedness of his father. We know he was drunk at the time, and he was naked, Noach. And Chum saw his nakedness, and he didn't help his father. Just the opposite. Chazal said he did terrible things to his father. His machlok is exactly what? But he did terrible things with his father, to his father. And then Shem and Yefes come, and they go, and we know the Pasuk tells us that they walk backwards, and they cover Noach, showing tremendous kavod. And the Pasuk says, the Ervas Aviyam Lora'u. They didn't see the nakedness of the father. Chum saw. Vayar Chum is Ervas Aviv. They didn't see it. Lubavitcher Rebbe says, you know what the difference was? And we see they did a beautiful act and helped him and cared for him. And Chum did terrible acts with him. Why? He says, because Chum was just looking at the exterior and sees the father who did something on the surface that looks very bad. And therefore, that's what he saw. He saw Erevas Aviv. He saw the mistake. He saw the bad. He looked at the person and saw the bad. Shem and Yefes, they only were looking for good. They only were looking for good. They weren't looking at the bad. Erevas Aviyam lo ra'u. They weren't looking for anything bad. So they were looking within. And you could always come up and be dan l'kaf schus. So erevas Aviyam lo ra'u. And therefore they help him in a beautiful way. So too the way we have to look at others. We have to care for others. Be there for others. Look for the diamonds within other people. It's a beautiful story. I'm sure I shared before. Of Shlomo Karbach. Rav Shlomo Karbach, who is a gadol in everything that we're talking about. Bagadla Shemelcha, he had this incredible name that people connected to and looked up to, and therefore he was Mashbiya, he influenced thousands and thousands of Jews are from today because of Rav Shlomo Carbach. Thousands. Thousands. So Rav Shlomo Carbach, and he was, if you understand what it is to be a role model in caring for others and giving to others, he was the biggest Jewish music star of the time. He died penniless. They had to go and raise money for his funeral. Because he didn't have a penny to his name. Because anytime he had money, you know what he did? He just gave it to people who needed it. To him, they needed it more than him. If I started telling stories, we'd be here all night. If you haven't read the book Holy Brother by Yita Halberstam, order it from Amazon tonight, and it will change your life. Tell you right now, no question, you'll be a different person in everything that we're talking about. You had a must read. You know, must read. Changed my life. I still, mamish till today, I find myself doing things because, I mean, I've read the book many times. The first time I read that book was already 18 years ago. And I find that since then, I find myself doing things only because I read that book. So what, he used to give a shiur. He was a big Talmud Chacham also. He learned in Lakewood under Aaron Cutler. He gave a shiur in the Diamond District. To all the top diamond dealers on 47th Street. And one time, at the end of this year, one of them said to him, Rav Shlomo, I don't understand, you're such a big Talmud Chacham, and you do such amazing things, why do you always spend time with such lowly people? He was known, he was always hanging out with homeless people, and in the jails. What are you doing all the time with all the lowest of low? So he says, Rav Shlomo says back, you're a diamond dealer, right, yeah? He says, if I show you $1 million diamond, you'll know how precious it is? Of course. It's my life, that's my business, what do you mean? He says, what about when it's right out of the mine? When it's right out of the mine, you know, when it's right out of the mine, a diamond. So it's not like when you guys wear diamonds, how it looks all sparkly and beautiful, and Mir Tashem B'Shatayv, every one of you should have on your finger. I don't know why that became a minog, but what it stands for, not that we care about the gashmius of it. So when it's right out of the mine, it's full of dirt and full of, it's mamish, it has to be first carved properly and has to be cleaned. And he says, when it's right out of the mine, would you be able to tell it's $1 million diamond? And he says, of course. What do you mean? That's our business. That's our life. I see beyond all the dirt. I see beneath all the dirt. The diamonds within. Rav Shlomo says, I'm also a diamond dealer. I deal with the diamonds of the neshama. And you maybe see, when you look at a person, you see all the dirt on the outside. Vayar is ervav aviv. You see all the bad that's going on. I see beyond all that. And I see the diamonds within. And I'm going to try to help clean it and carve it and make it shine. And that's our avodah. That's an Avraham Avinu Dikayid. And therefore, Vagadlo Shemelcha, so that I can influence others, I care for others. It's an amazing thing. We open up Parshas Bereishis, we've said this before, but all Sefer Bereishis. We're in the middle of Bereishis, and we love it. It's awesome. How incredible is it being back in Bereishis? You know, back with the Avos and Imos. It's awesome. It's like getting together with an old friend again, you know? There's nothing like an old friend. Remember a few years ago, it's more than a few years ago, it's like already close to 15 years ago when Simon and Garfunkel, they did a reunion tour. The Chevre is holding in Simon Garfunkel. You should be if you're not, okay? This is, mom, it's such beautiful music. You don't have music like this anymore, Simon and Garfunkel. If you don't know it, go listen afterwards, okay? You gotta, you know, now you have Jewish music that's not even Jewish music. This is, I mean, they're both Yidden, so it's Jewish music, I guess, I don't know. So they were, for many years, they put out of the most beautiful music in the world, and then they broke up, and then they did this reunion tour. They got back together and did a reunion tour, and I think it was 2004. Took my wife to one of the shows. It was incredible. It was incredible. You just sat there, mamish, can't even explain what it was. But they called it the Old Friends Tour, something to that, the Old Friends Tour. You know, when you have old friends that get back together, there's nothing like it. So mamish, nothing like it. Nothing like an old friend, right? I was mamish, you know, for such unfortunate reasons. I was reacquainted with an old friend of mine when Ari Fold, unfortunately, was murdered a month ago. So I was reacquainted on some level with my friend Hillel, his brother Hillel Fold, who I went to yeshiva, so I was a good friend with years ago. We weren't really in touch for many years, and now I went to yeshiva, spent time with him. And then the other day, I was in touch with him on WhatsApp, and we're talking, and I wrote to him. I said, "There's nothing like an old friend. It's nothing like an old friend. You know, you're back with an old friend. There's a depth. There's a connection that you have, like that you don't have with newer friends. And that's what it feels like when you get back to Bereishis. You know, when you have the Avos and the Imos, and you're reading the stories again, that even if we're, you know, Vayikra, we're lost in halfway through Shemos, let's be real, but Bereishis, Mamish, we all know the storylines, we all know in the Avos, Yemos, so it's exciting, it's beautiful, it's like being back with old friends. But if you look through all of Sefer Bereishis, you have a total of three mitzvahs. Three mitzvahs. Three mitzvahs in all of Bereishis, three mitzvahs. There are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. How disproportional could you get? Give me 50 at least. You know, if it was even, it would be somewhere around 122, 123. So give me at least 50. Three. The whole Sefer, isn't the Torah about mitzvahs? So I always felt it's to teach us Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah. We read the storylines of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, and the Shvatim, and we read all the storylines. And what are you looking for? What are we looking for in a wife? What's Eliezer going to look for? We look at what Avram Avinu, next week's Parsha, running to give food to the angels. These are people that can't even eat, and he's giving them mamish a feast like nobody's business. We're learning midos, we're learning characters, we're learning how to be a v'agav l'shemecha, we're learning what type of person to be, how to care for others, how to ensure that our heart is to the right side of everybody else. That's the avodah of these parshios. So I want to end with a story. Happened this Sunday. Incredible. Can't make it up. So this past Sunday, you know, my wife always likes having in the house Shabbos Kodesh, you know, all the local papers, Five Towns Jewish Times, the Jewish Home, the Jewish Star. And I do, you know, I flip through all of them, you know, do the flip, just to see what's going on in the, you gotta know what's going on in the neighborhood. So you can do a quick flip. Rarely we're gonna read much. And we didn't have, the last Shabbos, for some reason, we had the Five Towns Jewish Time and the Jewish Home, and not the Jewish Star. And Emma says she likes that one in a way the best. That was the one that has like real articles in it that you could actually read and maybe learn something, I don't know. Anyway, so we didn't. So Sunday, I went with one of my kids. We were picking up some food for dinner, whatever, at Gourmet Glad, so I brought a Jewish Star home. So around 5 o'clock on Sunday, I take the Jewish Star and I do the flip through. And there was one article that caught my attention, and I saw right away it was very. So even if it catches my attention, if it's like a long article, forget it. You know, okay, headlines and that's it. You know. But this one was like short, it was like a quarter of a page in the corner, and it was interesting, so I actually read the article. That's the first time I can say I read an article in a long time. But the article was about this Chabad Shliach, of course his name was Mendel, and who just went to start his Shlichus in Pensacola, Florida, last week, beginning of last, this story happened Sunday when I read this, it's at the beginning of the week before. Pensacola, Florida is the city in Florida, in the panhandle of Florida. It's the only Chabad in the panhandle of Florida, I believe. I don't know. And again, it wasn't where. But he started his shlichus literally at the beginning of the week, and it was like 3 days later, 4 days later, when the terrible Hurricane Michael hit and ravaged that area. Now, he wasn't where he was, wasn't the eye of the storm, but obviously it was tremendous effects, just rain and wind, but not destructive like we saw those images and where it hit. But he. Then the whole article is how he starts his shlichus. Which Chabad Shlichus is one of the most amazing things you could ever imagine. A husband, a young couple going and just moving throughout the world just to help people and care for people and give to people and be Makariv people. Apparently, there's a college in there where he is and he's trying to Makariv the Yidden there. But here he is, Mendel. It doesn't have a picture of him. I'm going to get back to why I'm telling you that now. And it just says how he's going, and it said within his first few days, he's going and just, his house that he just moved into, the Chabad, is like, he didn't even have furniture yet, but it's full of people sleeping on the floor from places where they lost their homes, and he's feeding everybody all day and doing incredible things. Unbelievable. I read these articles. Unbelievable. Mi'kam Chisrol. Mi'kam Chisrol. Because we're Bnei Avram. Bnei Avram. So I read these articles. I'm just blown away. 5 minutes later, you can't make it up. You can check my phone after. We're recording now, but anyone. 5 minutes later, I get a WhatsApp on my phone. You can check on this, right? Mm-hmm. I get a WhatsApp on my phone. See, I don't think I ever saved his name, so it's going to be hard, but we'll see if we can find it quickly. I get a WhatsApp on the phone, and the WhatsApp is here it is. Sunday 5:05. Sunday 5:05. And it's like a general, it's from a number I don't know. not saved. You know, it's 850 area code. We are live. Despite a stormy beginning, Chabad Pensacola kickstarts. For the next 50 hours, we're raising $50,000, the whole thing. I'm like, what is going on here? Why? How does this person have my number? I never heard of Pensacola before 5 minutes ago. I read about this Chabad 5 minutes before I get this. I stopped. First, I thought there's like something magical in this Jewish star that you read the article and it sends you a WhatsApp. I mean, what else? I didn't. How would that have happened? I mamish had no idea. Then I look at the picture. I see, so there's a picture. He has a WhatsApp picture. You know? Even though he didn't go to Haskin without a Haskamper, but he still has a WhatsApp picture. Still has a WhatsApp picture. So I look at the picture, and I look at his picture, and no, it's very important for Shiduchim. Anyways, Lameisa, I look at the WhatsApp picture, and he looks familiar. I'm like, I know who he is. I know him. And then I get like this right away, right after WhatsApp, with like a little video. Can I play? If I play it, it will turn this off. You can play. You probably can't play. I'll play it afterwards. I can play afterwards. It says, I get a personal WhatsApp from him. This is at 5:06. I read this article 5:00. Rebarya, how you doing? I'm like, I hear that. I'm like, why does he know my name? What's going on here? I didn't, you know, I might have read the paper. I didn't say what my name was when I'm reading. And he says, I don't know if you remember, and then it came back. We used to spend time all the time at the aisle, at the Babish Rebbe's aisle, and it all came back to me who he was. I never remembered his last name. He's Mendel. Every Chabad person I know is Mendel. You know, it's not. And Amaisa, I met him at the aisle, the Babish Rebbe's aisle, over the years. Met the aisle a lot. He was there a bunch of times. We would speak. And one time now I remember why he had my number, because he once heard me telling over a story, this unbelievable story at the aisle. And he wanted to write it up in the Chabad magazine, the whole thing. So he took my number and he called me to go through it again. But literally, it was incredible. 5 minutes after I read his article, he's texting me and then we've been in touch and we've been talking, and Baruch Hashem, just mamish incredible. It's just incredible. You can't make it up. Mikam Chol Yisrael. This is a Yid who decides I'm going to move to Pensacola, Florida. They're no from Yidden. There's nobody there. But I'm going to go there to help people and to care for people and try to be Makar of Yidden. And right away I go there and I'm Amish nonstop, just helping people and caring and giving to people. And we in our lives have to be the same type of people. That's what it is to be a Bas Avram. Vagadla Shemecha, Vada, like the first pshat we said. A Vagadla Shemecha, that we should realize we have the koach to lift ourselves up of anywhere we fall and have that hay. But once we do lift ourselves up, to have also that great name. Not because we're gaivadik and looking for the kavod, but we want to care for others and give to others and be mashpi on others and be a role model towards others, be a rebbe to others. Asei lecho rav, pasha pshad, the Mishnah Perkavos, make yourself always have a rebbe, have somebody you could call and talk to, and for halachic advice, for eitzah, everyone needs a rebbe to learn from, to grow from. But asei lecho rav, also lech lecho, make yourself into a rebbe. We should all be a rebbe. You know how we hold ourselves and be mashpi on others. That people should look to us like a rebbe. And they're learning from us, they're growing for us, and we're giving and giving and giving nonstop. Be'ez Hashem is baruch. We don't stop giving. We don't stop caring. We all know Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sin as chinam. So if we're an Avram Avinu, and we lift ourselves up, and we care for others in the way that Avram did, and give to others, will be zayche to be as Mashiach with the binyan Beis HaMikdash. V'mehera bi'ameinu. V'mehera bi'ameinu. V'mehera bi'ameinu. V'mehera bi'ameinu. V'mehera bi'ameinu. V'mehera bi'ameinu. V'mehera bi'ameinu.